I'm so thankful for the crews that are going into harm's way and who are fighting those fires, who are building breaks, who are digging, who are right on the front lines, doing their part to fight back and to subdue this fire monster. The hills are being charred. You can see the plains. If you look in the distance from our neighborhood, every once in a while you can see a white speck. I'm thankful that it's that far away that they're white specks. But you can see a white speck as the plains are doing their part. It is a team effort that is fighting this fire. People on the ground, people in the air, if you've ever been around a wilderness fire situation, you'll see the tankers circling around sometimes, and then there will be a smaller plane circling around that watches and helps direct the tankers as they go and make their drops. What does it take for a team to work together at maximum effectiveness like this? How is it that the guys on the ground with their shovels and picks and chainsaws, and the ones driving around in their trucks, and the ones flying in the air, how is it that they're able to work together so that they are at maximum effectiveness to be able to fight this fire and reduce it to ashes and stop the flames? The key is communication. Some of you have taken some classes on this kind of thing. The key is communication. They have to be able to talk to each other. They have to be able to coordinate to make sure that they're on the same strategy, each one doing their part at the right time to accomplish the mission that they have. And I'm so thankful that the mission that they have is to save that corner of the world. Up there, east of Jackson, north and east of San Andreas, all that area around there, and it's been expanding. Their mission is to save that corner of the world. And so they are using the best systems that they possibly can to be able to communicate. Let's take a look at the communication of a technology that might be available to them. You look way back, they've got the tools right there with them, don't they? Any of you ever use smoke signals? No one's ever used smoke signals. I was just surfing Facebook on smoke signals this morning. Well, that actually didn't work. You go on further in the quest to be able to communicate effectively. Samuel Morse invented the telegraph so that if you learned the code, they could actually communicate across wires, across the continent, eventually across the ocean, and communicate with people on the other side of the world with this invention, the telegraph. And then, of course, as time went on, people weren't satisfied with dots and dashes. We often think only of Alexander Graham Bell when it comes to the invention of the telephone, but actually there was a guy who beat him to actually making it happen in his own little corner of the world, in his own house, and that was a man named Antonio Meucci, I think is the way you pronounce it, and this is one of his sketches about how to send the voice over wire. And of course, then Alexander Graham Bell went on that quest as well, and he's the one who got it patented. I think it was around 1876 that they were able to send voices across the country. And we depend on that technology. And then, of course, you get past that. That wasn't good enough. The human heart always seeks for better. And there's this preposterous idea that you could have a portable device that you could even wear on your wrist and be able to communicate with people, not only by voice, but even with video. It's ridiculous. And it belongs only in comic books, of course. But you know as well as I that that day has come, hasn't it? In fact, you can even have a communication device that's wired into a special pair of glasses so that even as you look at the world around you, you can call up the information that would be helpful to you. Of course, we always see the wonderful benefits of this, and we see the spooky side of it all being integrated in our lives. But nonetheless, here we are. We have amazing communication. Now, of course, they don't have good cell signals up there in the hills as a reliable, so they have radios. that they use to communicate. They're able to communicate from ground to plane, from plane to plane, from base camp to the guys on the front line, from the base camp to the planes. Everyone who needs to communicate through these invisible radio waves are able to communicate, to keep in touch, to stay coordinated, to each be able to do their part. What a vital thing this is. What a blessing it is that we have these communications. You may remember, thinking back, we also remember 9/11 this week. You may remember the issues that were had because of some of the radio equipment not being upgraded, even in the rescue efforts, the valiant efforts that were being undertaken there. And subsequent, they've upgraded based on the experiences there so that those who work for the safety of people in our society have the best equipment to be able to communicate, to be able to keep in touch, to get the information that they need, and to share what they need to share in order that they can do their work of saving people effectively. I want to tell you that this weekend we have a team who is on a rescue mission. I don't know if you've heard about the team from Lodi Adventist Academy and youth from our own church here who have gone to San Francisco to get trained with Youth with a Mission to reach out to people on the streets of San Francisco to show them the love of Jesus and to offer them the gift of salvation through Him. To do, as Robert was talking about, those deeds of caring, of loving with food, with shelter and things like that, but also to share the love of Jesus for the ultimate rescue. And so they took the BART to get there. There's Pastor Janine from the academy and some of the students. And here's Pastor Scott. And they, one of the ministries that they did that accompanied the caption that accompanied this picture that he posted is that they got to go and pray with people on the streets. That's some powerful technology, isn't it? Some powerful communication technology. We have some communication technology set up here that we actually are going to hear from our team on the front lines out there in San Francisco. And so there's our team on the back lines, right back there, who's making that connection so that we can talk to Pastor Scott and the team that's there, and so that you can hear from the front lines of what they're doing in order to reach out to people. What did Jesus come for? Did he come just to save the people in the mountains east of here? He came to seek and save everyone who is lost. And I see we have picture. Do we have sound?
Hello?
Hello. That's always the first thing. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little bit. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you well. You are paused, though. We don't know why.
My screen is blank. What happened?
You're very blurry. Okay.
I see Gordon again.
There we go. Okay, your hand is looking very clean. Thank you.
My hand?
Well, you had it over the lens, sir.
All right, well, here we are on the streets of San Francisco. We were in the Tenderloin last night with hot chocolate. And now we are down in the Market Street area trying to give away living water. And the contrast, can you see everybody back there? The contrast between the people in this area and the people that are homeless is quite dramatic. And let me flip this around. All right, guys, what do you think about your experience so far here in San Francisco?
It's good.
How many of you have gotten into a great conversation with someone that needed some help? Yeah? All right. Life-changing experience?
Yeah.
Perspective-changing?
Yes.
And so we had a long conversation for our church this morning, and we talked about what it means to be down here to help other people and just about the impact of seeing how open people are about their need, about their brokenness, and about what we can offer. And so we're able to get into a lot of prayers. And this morning for church, we reviewed how to give a gospel presentation. And so we've been out this morning giving gospel presentations. And here comes Pastor Jan from down the street. Let's see, how is it going out there?
It's going great. We got some good conversation, but it's really difficult to give people who have everything, even the most simplest of things. I had to guarantee them that I wasn't asking for anything in turn. So it requires a lot of faith and a lot of commitment just to even start a conversation with the people.
Yeah, it's much, much different here. And so we're getting the contrast, people who have nothing, people who have everything, and we're trying to reach them all and pray for God to continue to be with us. We're going to head out with SAC Lunches pretty soon to sit down and have lunch with people, and we're going to ask to hear their story, to hear their testimony.
We want to reach out to heaven right now and pray for you guys. Is that all right? You going to stay with us?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Let's pray.
They're going to pray for us now. Get close so we can hear it on the speaker here.
Let's pray.
Okay. Please pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the team that is there on the streets of San Francisco reaching out to help in your plan to rescue people. Father, I thank for the young men, the young women. I pray that your blessing would be upon them. I pray that you would grant them success, that there would be people who would be in heaven because of their time there today. Pray that you would grant them joy in what they're doing, protection. Help them to sense that you are with them, smiling on them, just as you smiled on Jesus as he walked this earth to seek and to save the lost. And we look forward to when they get back and we get to hear more about what you have done in San Francisco this weekend. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Thank you, church family. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. God be with you.
Bob.
All right. Aren't you pleased? Thankful? Grateful to God for what he is doing? I'm very excited and pleased about what God is doing. Well, we are on our final time together going through conversations with Jesus. We have had, at least for me, it has been a wonderful journey looking through the Gospels and seeing different encounters that Jesus had with people and how he talked with them, how he related to them, the things that he did say, the things that he didn't say, the way he responded to human need, the way he responded to setups, the way he responded to the arrogant, and the way he responded to the downtrodden. It's just amazing. But today, for our last Conversation with Jesus message, we are going to be looking at Jesus' conversation with our Heavenly Father. Because I think you will find, just as we talked about with the firefighters up there on the front line, as we know for our rescuers on the front lines in San Francisco that we just talked about, the key to the success of Jesus' mission was his communication with heaven. I want to have that same communication too, don't you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning looking to you to please touch our hearts and speak to us. Please open our minds. We want to touch people the way that Jesus touched people. We want to be avenues for you to reach out and bless people and to draw them to you. So please, now as we look into your word, speak to us. Send your spirit not only to give us ideas, but to turn our lives upside down and transform us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The mission of Jesus began with prayer. Did you know that? You don't go to the Gospels to find this out. But the scriptures make it very clear that the mission of Jesus began with prayer. And by the way, as we talk about prayer, I want to make sure that we're very clear that we are talking about something that is a living connection and communication with heaven. We're not talking about magical incantation. We're not talking about something that has power to enable us to do what God has called us to do, but we are talking about the very God of the universe who has all power. And Jesus Christ and his Spirit who come to us as we open our hearts in prayer, who make that connection with us as we open our hearts to God and enables us to do that which we could not do. and who somehow, through this amazing process, the greatest communication technology that has ever been in the history of the universe, somehow is able to open doors for the power of God to work in our world in ways that it otherwise would not. Jesus, at the very beginning of his mission, began it with prayer. You might be wondering, how could that possibly be? He was a baby. Well, I don't know how the timing of it works in the story, but I want you to look in Hebrews. Did it skip two? It skipped two. In Hebrews chapter 10, and you can open it up and look in your Bible too. I want you to see this and know where Jesus' ministry started, where his whole time on earth started, and how he did it right there in prayer. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting in verse 5, here's what it says. Therefore, when he came into the world, Now, as I try and work this out in my mind, I'm quite sure that Jesus laying in the manger wasn't praying this prayer. You with me on that? You're pretty sure of that too? Quite sure that Jesus laying in the manger wasn't praying this prayer. So I imagine this is the conversation just before Jesus went in to this battlefield, which we call earth, as a little baby. That's what I imagine. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Doesn't it sound like that's the right timing? He's looking at the situation. He's looking at where he's going. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, and here's the conversation. Here's Jesus. Here is God the Son talking with God the Father. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. For what? To do your will, O God. To do your will, O God. Point A, the starting place, the foundation, the core of the launch of Jesus' mission on earth was this conversation. I have come here to do your will, O God. And in order to be able to do the will of the Father, going on through his life, Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was God come to earth as a real human being, a man of prayer. You may be familiar, and you can study this, you may be familiar with the passages in John where it says, of mine own self, I can do nothing. Do you remember that? He says, of my own self, I can do nothing. He does what the Father tells him to do. Over and over, he emphasizes this in his ministry. And as I start to think about this beginning at the foundations of Jesus' prayer life, at the foundations of Jesus' ministry, and how it was cemented and started and anchored to make sure that every connection was tight, that every cable was solid, I think of my own self and the calling of God on my life and of each one of us and the calling of God on our lives. Can we start anywhere else than where Jesus started? Can we start anywhere else than opening up our lives to him? And in the light of his love that he has poured out on us in Jesus, in the light of his unbelievable sacrifice in the incarnation and in the life that he lived and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, that our starting point is just like Jesus, in a way saying, here I am. I'm yours. I am here to do your will, O God. And how can you do that? You do it the same way as Jesus. Starting connected, staying connected, and if you realize you get disconnected, getting connected again, all right? Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. We're going to look at a couple of situations where there's conversations. We're not going to focus in on one this morning. This is the initiation of his formal ministry when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Look what it says. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And the other gospel writers don't record this as him praying, but here's what it says in Luke. not contradicting them, but filling out the picture. And it says, while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. You see, this was a two-way conversation that Jesus initiated. He came up out of the water, and his response to this saturated with meaning experience, as our example, the time of his overt and public anointing, he reaches to heaven in prayer. The scriptures don't record what that prayer was, and so many of the records, by the way, of Jesus praying, it doesn't say what he said. It doesn't say that there are some that does. But here's one of them. It doesn't say what he said. Can you imagine what he might have said? If it was me, with any anticipation of what was to come, are you sure we can do this? I don't know what he said. I imagine it was faith-filled. And the response came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Isn't that reassuring? When you're at the beginning of some leading of God on your life, that you can reach out to him, and he's going to not reach back to you with words like a drill sergeant, saying, get it together, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Interesting. But rather with words of reassurance, with words that say, you are mine, I'm with you, we've got this. That's what the Father did in response to Jesus' prayer as he came up from the waters of baptism. Another time when it was a two-way conversation was towards the end of Jesus' life here on earth. You can turn to John 12 if you want to see the context and see what was going on. He was in conversation with people. This was actually in the aftermath of the resurrection of Lazarus, when the Pharisees, the priests, the teachers of the law were very worried about all the people that were amazed that Jesus had raised someone from the dead, and the rumors were flying, and they were sure that they had lost the battle to sideline this rabbi from Galilee who didn't go through the proper training that they offered, who made such audacious claims about himself. And they were trying to figure out what to do to stop him. And then Jesus, there with the crowd around him, having talked about the foreboding of the dark things that were about to come with his death, he says, now my soul is troubled, verse 27. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then again, this was one of those two-way ones. And by the way, I hope that you gain some assurance as you scan through the prayers of Jesus, that it was only a couple of times that he got a voice from heaven calling back. Okay? It was only a couple of times of the recorded prayers of Jesus that he got a voice from heaven calling back to him. And this is one of those times. And the voice from heaven said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And if you go on to read in verse 29, it says, therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. And so, similarly to that time at the baptism in the Jordan River, when Jesus called out to heaven, God, not only for his reassurance, not only for him to know that he was with him, but so that the people around him would know that heaven was smiling on him. Heaven was with him in his mission. They were able to hear something going on that told him, and it was for their sake as well as for Jesus. If you look at the pattern of Jesus' life, the gospel that records the most about the prayer life of Jesus is Luke chapter 5. Luke, I would like you to look at chapter 5 and verse 16, which is a summary of what happened over and over again, recorded sometimes. But this one says this, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, if you have a New King James or a King James Bible or one of the Bibles that shows when a word is supplied, you might be troubled and see, oh, often is in italics. so there's actually not a word in there that says often. So he himself withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. In actual fact, the word often is in there to try and communicate the verb tense that's in there because it's a participle. So he himself withdrawing into the wilderness and praying would be a kind of a word-for-word translation. He himself withdrawing into the wilderness and praying and understanding that as an idiom to say this was his habit. This was what Jesus did. This is how he found out what he was supposed to do. This is how he stayed connected so that he was able to do what he was supposed to do. How he was able to fulfill that, I have come to do your will, oh my God. He was able to do it because it was his pattern. We like, as Seventh-day Adventists, to point out that it was his pattern to go into the synagogue on Sabbath and to worship with the people there and to participate in the services with the scripture and prayers there. But it was also his pattern to go off into the wilderness and to pray. Now, you may not be able to get off into the wilderness at all times. You may have obligations that keep you from the wilderness. But what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, go into your closet if you can't go into the wilderness, okay? Go into some place where it's just you and God. How many of you have seen that movie, The War Room? Any of you seen that movie, The War Room? It's okay. I know it's in theaters now. And it's not my usual thing to go into theaters to watch movies or anything. But when I saw about that movie and my wife asked me, can we go see that? I said, okay, we're going to go and see this. And my word, you need to go and see that. You will be called to prayer like you've never been called before. You will see how praying to God, connecting with God, and making that a strategic part of your life like Jesus did will transform your life. Now, it's a fictional story, but let me tell you, it's based on a true story. Not a specific true story, but it's based on the testimony of followers of Jesus. And some of them are you out here who know that when you intentionally connect with God through prayer, complemented with a study of His Word, that things happen in your life and in the lives of people that you're praying for that don't otherwise happen. That A, you are able to cope with and maintain faith and peace of God in your heart that you would not otherwise be able to maintain in the face of circumstances, be they illness, be they financial disasters, be they family struggles. When you make it a strategic and intentional part of your life to take everything to God in prayer, not just as you're going on praying and flipping prayers to heaven, which is how you should live your life, by the way, and not just when you see something that touches your heart on Facebook and you say it with all sincerity, put your comment on there, praying, but intentional time that you take as its own appointment, your own appointment with God, so that your heart can commune with heaven as surely as Jesus when he was here on earth. Place where you can be by yourself, place where you can focus in and talk to him and let him commune with you. It is your privilege. It is your right. And I dare say, it is your necessity. And if you don't think so, you are being terribly deceived. It is your necessity. It is your right. And it is your privilege. Isn't it amazing? The technology that God has. And the best I can tell, you know, I was thinking about this technology and how it's able to communicate from wherever I am, be it in my special time with him or as I'm living my day going through and passing along concerns and issues to him, asking him what to do, that from here, wherever across the universe it goes to heaven, the very things that my heart is unloading And the things that I can't put into words, you know, the Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit is taking and putting into words for the Godhead for us. What technology is this? But then I stopped and I realized as I was thinking about this, this technology to get a message from my heart across the universe to the heart of God. Oh, yeah. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay. Don't go saying, I will go up into heaven and find it there, or to the deepest parts of the earth and find it there. No. Near, even in your heart. That's even better technology, isn't it? Is that as you live your day, as you go to your prayer closet, your war room, to put it in terms of that film, as you reach out to connect to heaven, you're not going across any distance at all. The distance has been bridged by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He's right here. He's wherever you are, and you welcome him. So you're not talking across the universe. This whole thing about my prayers not getting past the ceiling, you would miss if they went past the ceiling, because he's right here. Does that make sense? Is that reassuring? Does that do for your heart what it does for mine? That makes me happy. You can clap along or whatever, but that makes me happy because he, the God of the universe, is here with me. Just like he was with Jesus. You may say, well, Jesus was God. Jesus was God. But Jesus was God. You go read again Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Jesus was God who emptied himself of his divine prerogatives, of his divine powers. He emptied himself and became really one of us. He was made like to his brethren in every way, the scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 4. He was made like us. He became one of us. So he too had the same privilege as us. And that's how he connected with the Father, was by prayer and by reading his word. Please, will you realize this is your privilege, it's your right, and it is your necessity to do what Jesus did. I believe that Jesus lived this passage that I've shared with you before, and I want to leave you with it now, and one more after that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, how much? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Did Jesus do that? Oh, you see him all along. You see his trips into the wilderness by himself, sometimes bringing his disciples along, and amazing things happened like the transfiguration. That all was in the context of Jesus praying. You see other circumstances. You see him setting the example in front of the crowd, giving thanks for the bread and seeing it multiply to feed 5,000 men and their families. 4,000 in another case. Same thing, giving thanks. You see him after the resurrection, giving thanks over the bread, and those disciples recognized him who had come to their home and they hadn't recognized him before. Jesus was in the habit of praying at all times, in all situations, about everything. You might say sometimes your situation is too bad, too hard, it's too terrible. How could God be listening? Have you seen through the pages of Scripture intersecting with your imagination? Jesus clawing at the ground with sweat like blood coming from him, crying out to God three times, repeating the same prayer, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, nevertheless, what? At the end of his earthly life, the same thing that he said at the beginning in preparation for his earthly life, right? I have come to do your will, O my God. In the end, with the voice of heaven not answering him, not saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, saying in prayer, not my will, but your will be done. In all circumstances, in everything, he brought everything to the Father in prayer. from the greatest, joyous opportunities to the most soul-wrenching, gut-wrenching circumstance of his whole life, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, anticipating taking the whole weight of all the sins of anybody who ever did and ever will live, crushing him and separating him from the Father, the bond between him and the Father of which and the Spirit that we can never comprehend. What an incredible amputation that was for both, for all of them. Please, if there's any other way, your will be done. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is your privilege. This is your right. This is your necessity, as much as it was and is Jesus. Why do I say is? Because the scripture records that not only did Jesus pray in his ministry here on earth, but Jesus continues to pray for you. So if you go, for example, to John 17, the longest and most well-known prayer of Jesus, and read through that, you can think, Jesus is praying this for me right now. This prayer for unity, this prayer for us to be at one with the Father as he is with the Father, this prayer for us to be vessels of glory for the Father. He is doing it now. Hebrews chapter 7, talking about Jesus as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary before the Shekinah presence of the Father. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. This is his mission. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he, what? Now, that one's not in italics, I don't think. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that cool? Jesus is still praying for you. Jesus is still in conversation with the Father for your benefit. My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, an intercessor, one who goes between Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is still praying for you. He is bringing before the Father stuff that the Father already wants to do, to bless you, to forgive your sins, to empower you, to cleanse you, to help you in your struggles, in your times. When you are crying out to him, he and the Spirit are taking that to the Father so that the resources of the universe are marshaled to get you from wherever you are all the way into the heavenly kingdom. That's the point of his life to this very time today. And it will be until he gets you there. And you know what his purpose of his life will be from then on out? To be with you. Because he likes you. And that's what he wants. That's what all of this, that's why that initial conversation happened. You've prepared a body for me. I have come to do your will, O God. Also that he could have you with him forever in heaven. And every intervening conversation on earth, the ultimate point, coming to seek and to save that which was lost, including you and me. The cry on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The cry that he gave for the very people who were crucifying him. Just in case you think that he's not praying for you, the very people that were crucifying are the ones he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, you are included in his prayers. He continues, always lives to make intercession for you. So as we come to this conclusion of talking about conversations with Jesus, the question that I have for you is, will you get in on the conversation? Will you make sure that you are in on this conversation? Oh, maybe you were trained not to interrupt. You know, you've had the experience that I have. Phone rings, you get on the phone, and your kid immediately, almost every time, wants to talk to you while you're engaged in conversation. Well, this isn't like that. You're going, please, I'm on the phone. No. This is a conversation that God wants you jumping into. He desires, and as part of his plan for your salvation, he even needs you to jump into this conversation, because he's not going to do it without your involvement, without your consent, without your saying, yes, I'm in. He needs you. He wants you in this conversation. Will you do this? Will you take the example of Jesus? Will you take the conversation of Jesus, even now that's happening, and jump in, and you take up this lifestyle? What does Paul say? He says, pray without ceasing. Take everything to him. Take everything to him in prayer. Have your special time and have your always time to always be engaged in your connection with God. This is no magical incantation. This is you connecting with the person who loves you more than anyone else and can do something about it more than anyone else. And that's my prayer for you. That's the point, for you to connect with God. Every barrier that you can think of has been taken out of the way by Jesus. Your sins, your orneriness, every barrier has been taken out of the way by Jesus. All he needs is for you to say yes. Yes, I'm in. All he needs is for you to say yes, I'm yours. I am here to do your will, but I can't do it without you. Show me, instruct me, lead me, teach me. Let's pray. Father, we're in awe of the life that Jesus lived here on earth, of the example that he set for us in the way that he treated people, in the way that he continually extended himself for the salvation of others, in the mighty acts that he did that showed forth your glory, and most of all, in the sacrifice that he made giving himself on the cross for our sins, and the amazement of the resurrection. And as we look at those things, the way Jesus acted, the way he treated people, we're tempted to say, that could never be me. I couldn't treat people that way. I couldn't be loving like that. Oh, Father, I pray for anyone who's having those doubts this morning that they could know that through Jesus, we can. We can have the prayer life of Jesus. We can love with the love of Jesus loving through us. We can reach out and make sacrifices we never thought or imagined possible in order to make the door of salvation open to others more powerfully than it otherwise would be. We sense you at the door of our hearts knocking right now, and we want to say, come in. We want to start or continue our conversation with you. And we want to see the results and the fruit of that conversation, just like Jesus saw in his life. Blessing for others. Peace in our own hearts. Salvation for people who don't know you. Please, whatever barriers get in the way of us spending that time, Father, help us to see clearly and have the priorities to set aside the trivia and even to nudge and push aside the things that seem so important so that we can be connected with you. So that we can be in conversation with you every day from start to finish. Thank you that the way is open through Jesus. Amen. If you still can't imagine that God has a place for you in his family and that he wants to talk with you, I would invite you after the service. We have an elder come up in each corner of the room here, and they can share with you from God's word how Jesus has made it possible And you can leave this place knowing that you are His and He is ready to listen to anything you have to say. May God be with us all.